Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your week as we now come down the home stretch of your week and usher you into the weekend. How about that? Already Friday. And of course, yesterday was the day, right? I don't really count the first four games, even though it does whet your appetite a bit to get you ready for the big dance. But yesterday was the first official day of the big dance. The Field of 64 officially tipped off and Michigan State got underway at 2:45 p.m. yesterday. Well, actually a little after 3 because the game prior to went a bit long. Michigan State squeaked out a win over Bradley, the 15 seed, Michigan State being the number 2 seed. No, it was not easy, but as the old saying goes around this time of the year in the world of college basketball, just survive and advance. And that's exactly what the Spartans did. Spartans get the dub, and there were really, I believe there wasn't one upset. Correct me if I'm wrong. We got Connor Mathis behind the glass. Was there, I believe there may have been one upset.
They weren't big. Murray State against Marquette, yeah, which I thought that was ridiculous.
Moran is unbelievable.
That was ridiculous seeding, I think. I think, you know, that Murray State should have been much better.
Exactly. And then Syracuse.
Syracuse lost to Baylor.
And that was an 8-9 matchup.
Yeah.
So that
Minnesota beat Louisville. That was a 10-7. Nothing huge. A couple scares.
Nothing crazy, though. So, you know, in that regards of that conversation, that's why I think this story gained so much traction. All right? You didn't have any buzzer beaters. Again, it went, for the most part, it went as scheduled in yesterday's opening slate of the NCAA tournament. All right? So the story wasn't about Michigan State winning. What became the story and what many national personalities and sports writers and so on and so forth are discussing today and were discussing after the dust settled on Bradley and Michigan State was Tom Izzo caught on camera, and I use caught very lightly, but seen on camera giving freshman guard Aaron Henry a tongue lashing. All right, there was a moment where Izzo, you know, he goes to Aaron, and what we found out afterwards is that Izzo was basically chewing out Aaron Henry for jogging back on defense. And I went back and watched that moment, and actually, yeah, you can see it. And it led to an open three-pointer for Bradley. The three-pointer didn't go down, but Izzo wasn't happy. And you know, he realizes the moment that, look, man, this is one and done time. This is the NCAA tournament. You can't jog back on defense. So he chews Aaron out. Aaron has some back and forth with Izzo, basically saying, what did I do? What did I do? And Izzo's trying to explain to him. You know, Izzo shows his teeth. Then it, you know, kind of dissolves to the huddle where Izzo's sitting down. He's still talking at Aaron. Aaron apparently says something back at him. Izzo gets up halfway out of his seat, and then you have like 4 Spartans, and I believe it was Dwayne Stevens directly behind Izzo basically saying, look, man, chill out a little bit. And then they basically are saying, look, Aaron, relax. And then we move on, right?
That's the moment that a lot of people are talking about today. And my gosh, social media, I tell you, right? I tweeted out the video. And then I just started seeing crazy reactions from people that totally took this out of context, in my opinion. Screen grabbed a few of them because it was just ridiculous. And that tweet blew up. You know, I'm not real active on Twitter unless sports is going on, you know, especially when it comes to Michigan State. It's part of my job to tweet throughout the game. And that tweet in particular got a lot of traction. It's still getting mentions and people are referring to it. And then I put those screen grabs on my Facebook page, and my Facebook page, that post has 95 comments and counting. Just to show you how that moment, just to put into context, how that moment has stirred up so many emotions for so many people out there. I am going to give you my thoughts on that. All right. And I actually put on my my Facebook page, because there were some pretty good comments out there, you know, but 93 comments coming in on my personal Facebook account. I said that, yeah, I'm going to read a few of these on the air. But then I thought about it. Nah, that's too much to go through. I didn't want to go through that. 93 comments. What I'm going to do is give you my thoughts on it. If you are listening, if you are watching right now, you can comment below the live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News, and I will read your comments. And you can call me up, all right? Call up the show, and we'll talk about this on the air, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. But I'm not digging through 93 comments. Just don't have the time. I had better things to do with my morning when it comes to preparing for this conversation and preparing for this show. So comment in real time or not, or just listen. It's up to you. And I promise, we'll get to the Bradley and MSU matchup. We'll break down that. I also want to invite live to the studio later on this hour, Natalie Kerwin, current sports beat reporter. She produced a great piece for us that you can read on WKAR.org that addresses the gambling phase when it comes to March Madness. I should say craze, the gambling craze that is March Madness. I did a great job with the piece, and I want to dive into that piece with her, and I have some thoughts on that. It's really interesting just how crazy gambling is around this time of the year when it comes to the tournament. And then on the back end of the show, like we do each and every Friday, we welcome Johnny Lewis to the hour, founder of Blessed Body Training, for another edition of Fit Fridays. You know what's next? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Okay, when it comes to the game itself, Michigan State squeaked out a victory over Bradley. Cassius Winston came up big last night in the second half, dropping 26 points in a close one, 76-65, your final. In a game featuring 18 lead changes, 8 ties, Bradley was able to give the Spartans a tough matchup all game. However, the Spartans were able to shoot an impressive 96% from the free throw line, connecting on 25 for 26 attempts at the charity stripe, giving the Spartans the edge. Yesterday's win gave Michigan State its 66th all-time NCAA tournament dub, which is now tied for the most in Big Ten history, currently held by Indiana. The Spartans now advance to the round of 32 of the tourney and will face 10-seed Minnesota tomorrow with a tip time of 7:45 p.m. You can catch that one on CBS. And if you remember earlier on in the Big Ten season, Michigan State did handle the Golden Gophers in that game during the Big Ten regular season. But this is a different Minnesota team, without a doubt. All right, more on that game in just a moment. Also, it was Michigan and Montana Part 2. last night. The Michigan Wolverines opened up the NCAA men's basketball tournament for a second straight year against the Grizzlies, and once again had no problem. 74-55, the final. Charles Matthews had a double-double, 22 points, 10 boards. Next up for Michigan, who is now right now looking for a third straight trip to the Sweetness of 16. The Florida Gators defeated Nevada before the Wolverines took the court, so the matchup between those two schools will take place at 5:15 p.m. in Des Moines, Iowa on Sunday. All right? Well, on Saturday. That's Saturday, right? Since they played on Thursday, so Saturday for Michigan. So both Michigan and Michigan State out in Iowa playing on the same day. Michigan this time, tip time prior to the Spartans. Okay, the Michigan State women's basketball team drew the 9th seed in the Chicago region. Will open up its NCAA tournament run against 8th-seeded Central Michigan University. Tip time is 1 p.m. tomorrow. This will be the first time that these two teams met on the court since the 05-06 year, in which Michigan State won 75-50. This will be the 4th overall postseason matchup between the two. This will also be the first time that Susie Merchant will face her alma mater as head coach of the Spartans. Merchant, of course, balled out for the Chips back in the day. And at 2 p.m. today, the 8th-seeded Michigan women's basketball team will square off against 9th-seeded Kansas State in Louisville, Kentucky in the first round of the women's basketball tournament. This will be the Wolverines' third trip to the tourney under head coach Kim Barnes-Arrico, and their second in the last 2 years. Both Michigan and Kansas State put forth two of the hottest squads in the country right now. The Wolverines have won 9 of their last 11, and the Wildcats have won 8 of their last 10. Also, big shout-out to the Powamo Westphalia girls basketball team. And, you know, we just had Luke Paul on the show just a few days ago as the boys basketball team ended up winning its first state championship in program history. First time the school has done that. And the girls are pretty good as well. Heading to the state title game as they defeated Ypsilanti Arbor Prep 37-33. The Pirates able to steal the game at the foul line in the final seconds after junior guard Hannah Spitzley knocked down 2 clutch free throws. The team will have a chance that no team has had in program history, again, winning a state championship. And this will be the first time in school history that if the PW girls can pull this win off, this will be the first time that both the girls and the boys win in the same year. That's quite the accomplishment, right? P-Dub will play in its first state championship game on Saturday against number 10 Flint Hammady for the Division III state title game. Wouldn't that be something? State champs in both sports for the girls and boys. All right, after a disappointing loss in Cleveland on Monday night, the Detroit Pistons bounced back against the Phoenix Suns 118-98. Your final last night. After allowing the Suns to shoot nearly 70% in the first quarter, the Pistons held the Suns to 38 points in the second half to win the first game of a crucial 4-game trip against Western Conference foes. The Pistons, sitting at 37-34, are 6th in the Eastern Conference playoff chase, 1 game in front of the Brooklyn Nets, who hold the tiebreaker over the Pistons. The Pistons are 2 games in front of the 8th-place Miami Heat. The competition gets tougher on the trip with games at playoff teams in Portland, Golden State, and Denver, I should say. So let's see what the Pistons do. Good win, though. Good win, but it's the Suns. We'll see what happens against Portland, Golden State, and Denver. 3 really good Western Conference teams. Also, the St. Louis Blues needed everything they had left in order to sustain a good playoff position, as they were able to do that last night with a win over the Detroit Red Wings 5-2. Your final there. The Wings now travel to Las Vegas for a game Saturday against the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Puck drop at 10 p.m. And spring training continues tonight for the Detroit Tigers as they take on the Atlanta Braves in Lake Buena Vista, Florida. Tyson Ross gets the nod for the Tigers as he goes up against the Braves, Julio Teherán. And a quick March Madness update for that. I go behind the glass. Connor Mathis, what is the word on the tournament happenings of today, my friend.
All right, so halftime. Cincinnati is up 5 on Iowa, 36-31. And kind of surprisingly, Oklahoma is whooping Ole Miss right now, 41-24, with a little over 5.5 minutes left in the first half. At 1:30 today, number 3 Texas Tech takes on Northern Kentucky. And then right as the show ends, Kansas State takes on number 13 UC Irvine.
Awesome, man. I'm looking forward to that UC Irvine and KSU game. That's one of my big upsets. I've got UC Irvine playing some really good basketball right now. I got them over KSU.
I'm all in on KSU.
You're all in on KSU.
I have them beating UVA.
A lot on the line in that game.
A lot on the line for me.
That's one of the sexy upsets that I picked. We'll see what happens. That's the beauty of the tournament. And not that anybody cares, you know, the big question around this time of the year, how's your bracket doing? How's your bracket? Well, guess what? Mine is doing really... Nobody cares. Nobody cares about your bracket. Everybody brings that up, right? It's like fantasy football, fantasy basketball. I don't care how your fantasy team is doing. Nobody does. But it's fun to talk about it. Without a doubt, it is. And toot your horn if, you know... bet your bottom dollar if UC Irvine does beat KSU, I'm going to be bragging a little bit. Not that anybody cares, though. You're probably looking at me like, Al, shut up, dude. I don't care. Whatever. Who cares? But
I do care a little bit because I have Kansas State, so we're going to...
Right, right.
I care a little. The health of my bracket is much more important.
Exactly. Well, and so I'll ask you the cliche question. How is your bracket doing, Connor? Pretty good?
Well, I have 3 of the 4 Final Four still in there because every year I decide, you know, I'm gonna keep it easy with 3 picks, and I'm going to make one stupid pick. My stupid pick this year was Nevada in the Final Four, and that did not turn out well.
No. At all. Okay. Wait, that's the fun.
Everyone else is still alive, though.
Exactly. All right. That does it for your current sports quick hits headliners. Hope your bracket is doing well. Not that I care. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKARnews and comment below the live stream. You can also tweet us. Tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News.
You know, I get a kick out of you guys. Get after somebody because you're trying to hold them accountable. I don't know what kind of business you're in, but I'll tell you what, if I was the head of a newspaper and you didn't do your job, you'd be held accountable. That's the way it is.
Got time for one final question.
Same people that if you didn't hold kids accountable, they'd be the inmates that are running the asylum. Be the same people. And Bob, I love you, but you're the same people that if you didn't hold kids accountable, they'd be the inmates that are running the asylum. So Aaron Henry, trust me, did some things that you can't do as a starter on a top 5 team at the end of your freshman year, and they were effort related. And so he's going to get challenged. And Cassius was great. Now I challenged Cassius in a 2-minute stretch, too.
Okay, I want to start there. You know, before I give you thoughts on what happened on the basketball court, it's what happened on the sidelines during that game between Michigan State and Bradley that is getting a ton of attention. And I'm not kidding, folks. I mean, I woke up this morning just to see how many were talking about it. And at first, it started at 4 a.m. because I produced my piece for Morning Edition and All Things Considered. I came in around 4 a.m., and I turn on the radio, national radio. Amy Lawrence is talking about it. I came back, took a nap for like 2 hours, and then I woke up, began prepping the show. Turn on ESPN. Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman are debating about it, and they're on the same page. Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman had the back of Tom Izzo. And then I go to Fox Sports 1, and then you have Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp reprimanding Tom Izzo's actions. And then they brought in former Detroit sports broadcaster, now with Fox Sports 1 out on the West Coast, Rob Parker. And Rob Parker, who has covered Izzo, knows Izzo. He didn't like it. You know, he's bashing Izzo for how he lost, quote unquote, lost his temper. And then, you know, I went on YouTube and you know, Googled what exactly Chris Carter and Nick Wright had to say on their show. I believe it's First Things First. And they sounded off and had the back of Tom Izzo. Chris Carter actually spoke to Izzo on the phone either last night or this morning. And they understood where Izzo was coming from. And then they brought in Steven Jackson, who is now with Fox Sports. Now, Steven Jackson, former NBA basketball player, brought in Steven Jackson, and Jackson agreed with Chris Carter and Nick Wright. So, as you see, the opinions vary on this topic. They really, really do. As I just, because I, you know, I put the video on my Twitter account. As soon as I saw it, many people added me on Twitter and gave their thoughts on it. And then I typed in Tom Izzo. And, you know, I don't know if you guys want to do this. It's going to be, if you're at work, don't do it, especially if you're on a work laptop or a work computer. Because if you type in the word, you know, if you type in the name, excuse me, Tom Izzo in your search bar on your Twitter account, you're probably going to see some nasty things from people out there that didn't agree with what Izzo did yesterday during the game. So I decided to screen grab a few of them because I believe the people that I screen grab, they're just what Izzo calls cowards behind keyboards. It got way too personal. So, people calling for Izzo's job, and I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. So I just put a montage together of those screen grabs and threw it on my Twitter and gave my thoughts on it, and that blew up. And then I put it on my Facebook page, and again, as I mentioned, just ridiculous reaction. 93 comments and counting right now on my personal Facebook page. Some agreeing with Izzo, some not. So I'm just going to say this. And again, our phone lines are open. If you want to talk about this on the air, 517-355-WKAR. I'm just going to say this. I don't understand how people are reacting to this as if it's new, as if this is something that Tom Izzo has not done throughout his entire career here at Michigan State University. This isn't new. Tom Izzo has been doing this for years. You know, I always hear stories, especially when I first became a sports reporter here in East Lansing. And I would always hear stories about, you know, Izzo getting in the face of a player to try and motivate that player. And then also the famous war drill that he does, right? I mean, Tom Izzo's like a football coach, but on the hardwood. You know, renting out football pads and helmets so that, you know, his players can become tougher on the basketball court. This is what Izzo does. And it's not new. And any recruit who decides to commit to Michigan State University, they've seen those clips. They know what they are getting themselves into. The parents as well. All right? Aaron Henry, before he committed to Michigan State University, he saw the clips. He knows how fiery Izzo gets. And that didn't deter him. I will say this, some players can't handle that, especially in 2019 in the millennial or what we're in, like the Gen X, Y, Z. I don't know what you call it nowadays. We're in that generation now where, and I've gone on record to say this many, many times, it's a soft generation today. We are so sensitive in 2019, and there are cameras literally everywhere because of smartphones. There are cameras everywhere, folks, that. It's like put this spotlight on everything that's really already existed, but the fact that it's now on camera and it's so in your face now, you can't ignore it. But this is the thing. I don't see anything wrong with motivating someone in the field of athletics by getting in their face and letting them know what they did wrong. It works for some players. Not all. Not all. Some players, if you, and this is speaking from experience. I played athletics. I played ball. I had a few D2, D3 offers and said, skip that. I'm coming to Michigan State. I'm not going to play D3 basketball. and for me, it didn't work with me. My coach, Bill Yoach, is at Annapolis High School in Dearborn Heights, Michigan. He was a notorious yeller. got in my face multiple times, and I was one of those kids that if you did that to me, I was yipping right back at you, and it caused a strain. So much so that I got benched a few times. Coach Yoshi said, look, I'm not dealing with your mouth, Al. You go on the bench. I didn't deal with that kindly. I was a baby during that time, man. And I remember one time I got teed up, and Coach Yoshi is yelling at me, and I got teed up, and I went to the locker room and threw a fit. You know, there was like a random, what do you call those things? Like a dry erase board to draw up plays, right? Sitting there on one of the benches in the locker room. And I threw that thing at the wall. That thing shattered. I was a baby back then. And that style did not work for me. But some players responded to it. My man, Ronaldo Wallace. You know, whenever he would get chewed out, he took it as a challenge. Like, okay, coach, I got you. And would go out there, and it pushed himself to greater heights. So Izzo's method doesn't work for everybody. Everybody doesn't respond to yelling. And I heard this take a lot. You know, there were some, probably, I'm sure, there's probably some recruits out there who looked at that and said, oh, yeah, I can't deal with that. No, a coach getting into me like that. No, While on the flip side, there are some recruits out there and some players out there saying, yep, that's what it's all about right there. That's how you motivate your player. And what I think really speaks to, you know, those players that have been motivated, and that's one of the reasons why they came to Michigan State, because this is the thing about Izzo. He is going to push you. When he comes to your living room to sit down with your mom and pops, he lets the parents know, and he's going to let you know as a recruit that, look, I am not just going to push you to be a great basketball player, but I'm going to push you to be a great man of life. That's what we're aiming for here. It's not all about hoops with Izzo. And you see that in the response that Izzo has with the players who watched that moment yesterday and chimed in via social media. You had former players like Gary Harris, former players like Miles Bridges, former players like Jaren Jackson, former players like Kelvin Tolbert, former players like my guy Anthony Iani, who will be on Monday, by the way. He wants to get some stuff off his chest when it comes to this topic. There were so many former players that came out and said, whoa, why are we blowing this out of proportion? Well, we can't yell at kids today? Oh, this is what Izzo does. There's a method to this. All right? And then what really irked me, folks, you got to be responsible. If you're going to pop off today, and that's the thing about social media, and that's the thing about 2019 today. We are so irresponsible sometimes because we are so immediate and want to, when we see something that's wrong, we believe is wrong, we're so quick to jump on Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram, that we don't think it all the way through and look at every angle here. And sometimes we act irresponsibly. And what I heard from, in particularly, Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless this morning, as they were discussing this, they were comparing Tom Izzo to a guy like Bobby Knight.
That is blasphemous.
It is. It's completely blasphemous, Stephen A. Smith. And Stephen A. had Izzo's back this morning. But what I have a problem with in comparing Izzo to Bobby Knight is that, folks, there's a fine line when having this conversation. Izzo isn't known for grabbing players and shoving them and getting physical with them. You know, slapping players and that kind of thing. Bobby Knight was known for that kind of stuff. Izzo, to my knowledge, and just ask his former players, he's never hit a player. You know, sure, when you look at it on video, you know, he's got his Finch clinch. That's just intensity. He didn't physically assault Aaron Henry. He just gave him a verbal tongue lashing for messing up, for jogging back on defense. That puts in perspective the expectation that Izzo has for you as a player. You may be a freshman, but you've started multiple times throughout this year, and now we are talking about the big dance, and you're gonna jog back on defense? That's unacceptable. And I'm gonna let you know that's unacceptable. And I'm gonna do it in a way that's not physical. I'm not putting my hands on you, but you better believe you are going to hear it from my mouth. My mom and dad used to do that to me all the time if I would mess up. Okay, what's the difference? And heck, they got physical with me back in the day. All right, I got whoopings back in the day, and you can't do that in 2019, right? They took it a step further. He didn't physically assault Aaron Henry here. It was a verbal tongue lashing. And to that I say, are we that soft as a society? We need more of that today, to be honest with you. But that's another subject for another day, right? But what speaks to Izzo's method, whether you agree with it or not, is just listening to the responses of his former players, to those who are close with him and know the program. Izzo is going to push you. We all know that. And how he does it is that way. And a lot is being made of, oh, Izzo had to be, the word that I'm seeing used a lot today is restrained. He had to be restrained by his assistant coaches and his players. And this is what speaks a lot to me. And this is a point that I didn't even think about until actually Nick Wright brought this up this morning. Nick brought up the fact that it says a lot that Izzo's players are holding him back. The fact that Izzo's players feel comfortable enough to physically restrain him, if you're going to use the word restrain, to say, hey, Izzo, chill out, shows to me how open that dialogue is amongst that team. Shows to me how comfortable these players are to physically say, hey, coach, hey, sit down, coach. Hey, man, I got this. Cassius said, look, coach, chill. I got this. Let me talk to Aaron. Because that isn't working right now. Let me holler at Aaron. Denzel Valentine was known for that stuff, you know, when he was a part of the program. Like, Izzo, chill. Monty and Cleese used to do it all the time. Izzo, relax. I got this. That says a lot about the kind of system Izzo runs, that the players feel comfortable to say, coach, to let him know, shut up sometimes. This is a player thing. I got this. Final point. When speaking to today's generation and when speaking to how sometimes you need to be pushed if you really want to be great at something, Izzo, one of my favorite quotes of this season is Izzo discussing being obsessive, right? If you want to be great at something, you got to be obsessive about it. If you want to truly be great at something, I'm not just talking good. I'm not talking average. I am talking exceptional. Looking at the career of Izzo, that's pretty exceptional, right? 7 Final Fours. I don't know how many Big Ten championships. He's won a national championship. He is a Hall of Fame coach. This is a formula that works. But today's generation, and it irks me so much, they don't want to be pushed. They don't want to be yelled at or reprimanded for a mistake or told you did it wrong. They want it easy. You want it easy, and that's the problem with how 2019 is, to be honest with you. And it reminds me so much of a movie. I don't know if you guys have seen the movie Whiplash. It's one of my favorite films of all time, and it speaks to, and spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the movie, it's amazing. But it's about a music teacher who is the head of a musical program, head of a band there that has won multiple awards, one of the top bands in the world. But he gets let go from his job for taking his motivational antics a little too far. J.K. Simmons, shout out to Detroit. He is one of the main actors in it. And Miles Teller is the young pupil that, you know, he really takes things a bit too far. And he tries to motivate him, and he just kind of goes off and gets physical with him. He crosses the line and is let go because of it. There's a moment when these two, Miles' character and J.K. Simmons' character, they meet in a local club years after the incident, right? And they sit down. They see each other. They sit down and discuss the antics of the musical teacher played by J.K. Simmons. And this is what J.K. Simmons' character had to say. His name is Fletcher. This is what Fletcher had to say when they sat down.
Truth is, I don't think people understood what it was I was doing at Schaefer. I wasn't there to conduct. Any moron can wave his arms and keep people in tempo. I was there to push people beyond what's expected of them. I believe that is an absolute necessity. Otherwise, we're depriving the world of the next Louis Armstrong, the next Charlie Parker. I told you that story about how Charlie Parker became Charlie Parker, right? Yeah.
Joe Jones threw a symbol at his head.
Exactly. Parker's a young kid, pretty good on the sax, gets up to play at a cutting session, and he f***s it up. And Jones nearly decapitates him for it. And he's laughed off stage. Cries himself to sleep that night. But the next morning, what does he do? He practices. And he practices and he practices with one goal in mind, never to be laughed at again. And a year later, he goes back to the Reno and he steps up on that stage and he plays the best solo the world has ever heard. So imagine if Jones had just said, well, that's okay, Charlie. That was all right. Good job. And Charlie thinks to himself, well, I did do a pretty good job. End of story. No bird. That to me is an absolute tragedy. But that's just what the world wants now. People wonder why jazz is dying.
The next line of that screenplay is this. Miles Teller's character by the name of Andrew says, but do you think there's a line? You know, where you discourage the next Charlie Parker from becoming Charlie Parker. Fletcher says, no, because the next Charlie Parker would never be discouraged. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. You can go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and weigh in there. You can also tweet the show. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. When we come back, we will welcome live in studio Natalie Kerwin, current sports beat reporter, who will talk about March Madness and the craze of gambling around this time of the year. We'll be right back. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, if you would like to be a part of the hour as we come up on just 20 minutes left here, 517-355-9527. Real quick, behind the glass, Connor Mathis, what's an update on the tournament right now? Do you have one? What's going on?
We went to half at Oklahoma versus Ole Miss. Oklahoma is still beating the mess out of them, 50-33. Wow. Iowa has life, so they are only down three right now, 48-45, with 11:48 left in the game.
Okay,
and then Texas Tech and Northern Kentucky just started up, and I believe Texas Tech was out to an early lead.
Gotcha. Okay, thank you for that, man. All right, what I want to do right now is welcome to the studio Natalie Kerwin, who has been doing an outstanding job throughout this semester here. With the Journalism 418 class that we partner with, as we have a big class this year, 18 students out in the field doing some remarkable reporting. And Natalie, you have a really cool beat, and I'm kind of jealous of it, to be honest with you. It's sports gambling, and it's a hot topic because sports gambling is now officially really legalized, and we're starting to see a lot of states across the U.S. of A. get into the game. And this, without a doubt, is one of the biggest months when it comes to the sporting calendar and gambling. And I want to ask you, I want to start here because your piece, very well done. If you haven't read it, go to WKAR.org. It's entitled March Madness is Here Everybody get your brackets filled out. So, of course, we published this before the tournament took place. And you just kind of basically dive into the gambling trends around this time of the year. You talk about pools at work. It's very well done. So I just want to start by asking you this, Natalie. Is this the biggest gambling event of the sporting calendar?
You know, it's hard to say because there's so many events that are gambled on, like the Kentucky Derby and the Super Bowl. And I mean, the list goes on. But, you know, for the first time in college basketball, NCAA tournament history, legal sports betting in the U.S. is extended outside of Nevada. So that includes New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Rhode Island, Delaware, Mississippi, New Mexico. And hopefully this year it'll continue to spread, I guess, and more states will continue to legalize it. But it's, yeah, I mean, I do think the tournament is probably the most betted on just because there's so many different games and, you know, with bracket pools and everything and office pools, there's just so many different ways to bet on it legally and illegally. So I do think that it is the biggest gambling event, but it is close to the Super Bowl as well, just because, you know, there's so many different prop bets during the Super Bowl, which makes up probably most of the different betting that goes on during that time. So I would say that it is the biggest gambling event of the sporting calendar.
And you note in your piece that according to the American Gambling Association, an estimated $10 billion was wagered on the 2018 tournament. So I'm curious to see when it's said and done what those numbers look like for this year.
Yeah, and to bounce off of that, the American Gaming Association just came out with their new findings for this year's tournament last week. And I have these stats here. It says that they expect 47 million American adults will wager $8.5 billion on March Madness, so a little bit lower than last year.
Okay, gotcha.
Not sure why that is, but it also says that $4.6 billion will be wagered on a collective 149 million brackets by more than 40 million people.
Right.
And then in addition to that, 18 million more Americans will place $3.9 billion in bets at a sports book, online, or with a bookie. So
wow. That's amazing.
The numbers are crazy.
The numbers are crazy. So how many people right now? Well, you just kind of went through the numbers there.
I know.
There's a lot of people. And, you know, one of the spots in this article that really caught my eye is how common office pools are. And they happen everywhere. You know, I was talking with a few of my buddies the other day, and they're in office pools. And it really is one of those events, as you highlight, that brings everybody together at your job, right? I mean, because, you know, not every day do you see marketing, you know, mingling with, I don't know, sales. You know what I mean? You just don't see that a lot, but it brings everybody together. It's fun competition. What are the findings that you highlight in this piece concerning that?
Yeah, exactly what you mentioned. I mean, there's so many, especially at big companies, I guess, there's so many different departments and some may never cross paths. I mean, depending on how many employees are there. And I was actually talking to my dad before I wrote this article and he's like, yeah, I mean, there's people I've never even really seen before at my work. But when it comes to March Madness, you know, everyone gets together and people, you know, whether you're a sports fan or not, most people will participate because it's just a fun thing to do. And, you know, it's found through research that office pools, like, do boost workplace, like, I guess.
Like chemistry, camaraderie.
Yeah, chemistry.
Yeah.
And others will say that it brings down productivity. So that's kind of the argument against it. But,
yeah.
I mean, just from talking to people and, like, my parents, I guess, at their own offices, they both participate in the tournament every year as far as filling out a bracket. And
right.
My mom's not a huge sports fan, but she, you know, she'll do it. And she's like, I don't really know the difference between these two teams, but I'll just pick one and just go through it. I mean, so I think it just, what you were saying, it does really bring people together. And I think it's a good thing. I don't know. People might say that it brings down, I guess, productivity is what I've found. But I think it's more of a good thing. I think it's an exciting time of the year for people. And, you know, if work is ever boring, I think this is, I guess, during the time of the year that
I agree.
Can be
I'm
exciting.
With you. Because this is the thing. I mean, because it brings everybody together, it's awesome. And now I know when you're at work, I mean, because I did it yesterday. I mean, I'm sitting there, I'm watching games as I'm trying to send out emails and post the show and do everything. But that's the beauty of it. You know what I mean? That's it happens once a year. And it's such a huge event. I love it. Anytime that you can boost chemistry at your job, Why not? Why
exactly.
not do it? And you talked to Mark E. Terman, who is an attorney for the National Law Review, and he says technically it's against the law. Is that right? If you're betting money at your job on the tournament, is that correct?
Yeah, I mean,
technically,
it technically is. I mean, I don't know. It's such a low form of gambling.
Exactly.
I mean, the government is not going to try to stop it from happening because it's going to happen regardless. I mean, bracket pools have been going on for years and it's not going to stop. No one's really doing anything wrong. Mm-hmm. I mean, if anything, it just brings more fun and like something exciting to an office. It, like I said, it brings people together. I don't think, unless someone starts an argument over whose bracket's doing better, I don't think it's going to cause any problems. So,
right.
I mean, technically it's illegal because it's a form of gambling if there's money involved with it,
right.
I guess is what makes it illegal. But
yeah,
I don't know.
On to say in the piece, office pools have become widely practiced and culturally accepted from a form of gambling.
Yeah, exactly.
And like you said, many law enforcement authorities have little interest in enforcing this.
Yes.
So, you know, have fun. You
I know,
know
have, just have fun.
Guys.
Live a little. Don't
live a little. We're so sensitive in 2019.
I know what you were saying before.
You know,
people
preach
are
on.
Way too
So real quick before we get you out of here, and again, you can check out Natalie's piece on our website. March Madness is here. Everybody get your brackets filled out. What are some of the craziest odds or maybe one that you want to highlight when it comes to this year's tournament?
Well, I know most people, I mean, are predicting that Duke's going to go all the way or at least get to the Final Four. Mm-hmm. But on oddshark.com, it says that the odds for North Dakota State to win against Duke are +8,000.
Wow.
And that's pretty crazy.
If you put just like $5 on that, it's just you hit the lottery.
It's insane.
If it happens.
Last year the odds for UMBC to win against Virginia was +2,000. So I mean that's an even bigger jump. So
that's crazy.
I know.
And the response from students, because you're a student here at Michigan State University, I'm wondering, has the legalization of sports betting changed the college student sports fan in any way that you've seen?
Personally, no, just because it's not officially legalized here, so I don't think that's changed the mindset.
Right. I think the ruling from the Supreme Court is basically saying that we're not going to outlaw it from a national perspective. If states want to get in the game, you can do that. You can do that. So,
yeah.
Like you said, we're seeing Jersey right now hop into the game, and you can go there
exactly.
and place a bet. So,
yeah.
But it hasn't really affected the way students are. Okay.
I don't think so. I mean, I think if anything, more students, I think, are just – it maybe more students are getting involved with it, but I don't think it's changing the mindset, I guess, of whether students want to still bet on it or fill out a bracket or anything like that from
right.
what I've seen. I mean, in my personal experience, a lot of like the different clubs I'm in, like people are creating brackets and like, let's all participate in this. And I've
right.
seen like with my friends, more people are just filling them out. Like I convinced my roommates who aren't huge sports fans, like just fill it out. Do this.
It's fun,
you know?
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, if anything, in my experience, I've just seen people maybe could participate even more, but not like changed in a bad way, I guess.
And this is what I said when the Supreme Court ruling came out. I said, look, this may change it a little bit, but look, if you wanted to bet on sports before this ruling, and if they, let's just say the Supreme Court said, yeah, you only can do it in Vegas, right, and kept it the way it was. If you wanted to do it, you're going to find a way to do it. You know what
yeah.
I mean? This isn't going to just change and make everybody, oh my gosh, I can do it now. Let me hop in and start betting on games now.
Yeah.
If you were doing it before, you're going to continue to do it. And if the Supreme Court ruling didn't come out, you were going to find a way if you wanted to do it. So, Natalie, outstanding job. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right.
Appreciate it.
You got it. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will finish out this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports with a chat with Johnny Lewis. It's Fit Friday time, folks. As Johnny tells us how to get fit, both in the gym and in the kitchen. We'll be right back.
I am Hans.
And I am Franz, and we just want to pop you off.
It's sweating time.
That was the pre-warmer to get you ready for the warmer, to get you ready for the pre-workout, followed by the workout, which precedes the post-workout. Then we're going into a little 60-minute warm down.
Okay, the first exercise I'm going to show you is what we call the bench press,
a basic exercise that every beginner should do no matter what sport you're in.
but don't look for an easy way out. Nobody wants to work hard these days. Everybody wants the easy way, the 20-minute ad, the 10-minute this, 10-minute that. Earn it.
We're coming down the home stretch of this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. About 9 minutes left, and we close out each and every Friday with Johnny Lewis. It's time for Fit Fridays with the founder of Blessed Body Training, Johnny Lewis, joining us from the West Coast. What's up, J. Lou? How you doing, man?
Hey, what's up, Al? I'm doing pretty good. It's Friday, and Michigan State got the dub yesterday, so I'm excellent.
I'm sure you are, man. Spartan fans everywhere were just certainly just breathing a sigh of relief after yesterday, right?
Right.
A close game. All right, let's dive right into it, man. We'll start with your tip in the gym, and you want to talk about four workouts to target every part of your abdominal muscles. Go ahead, my man.
Oh, yeah, so it's four workouts that's critical because they target different parts of your abs. So the first is, you know, the traditional sit-up or crunch. That's going to target your upper abs and the middle abs as well. But a lot of people forget about the lower abs. So the lower abs is breaking number two, which is the reverse sit-ups. So reverse sit-ups is basically where you bring your legs up instead of bringing your, you know, torso down. So any motion where you're using your legs or you're moving your legs, that's going to target the lower section of your abdominal muscles.
So, Johnny, that gives you like that V, right? That little V muscle, you know, down there that you're trying to, you know, that I really try.
Oh, yeah.
I never think about working out my lower abs. So I think that's one of the muscles it targets, right?
Right. Yeah, it can help aid with the V that you're looking for. But more so than the reverse sit-ups and the lower abs, it's the oblique motion. So that's number three, the oblique sit-ups, or like the Russian twist, anything where you're twisting your body. So the oblique sit-ups is basically like a sit-up, but as you come up, you turn your body to the left or to the right. And that will help with the V even more, you
Got
know?
You.
So getting that V-shaped Superman body.
Right, that we all try to shoot for, right? Like yours, basically.
Thank you. And then the last one is the plank, which there's different modifications of the plank, but just the regular on your forearm planks, those will target your full abs. So when you do planks, it's a good idea to keep your abs tight and make sure that your body is lifted up. So it's an isometric workout, and it's amazing. We all know what planks are. And you also have side planks to target more of the obliques. So, yeah, between those four, you're targeting your upper with the sit-ups, the lower with the reverse sit-ups, the sides with the oblique sit-ups or Russian twist, and then the full isometric with the plank.
And I'm wondering, how long should you do the plank, Johnny?
So starting off, a lot of people like to start off with 30 seconds to a minute, which I think is a good time. If you're just starting off, I say 30 seconds, try to shoot for a minute. But I've brought mine up to a minute 15 to 2 minutes, and
wow.
I do cycles of abs, so
got you.
You know, you just gotta keep on doing it until you get to where you want to be.
Right, keep on pushing it. All right, I love that. Okay, and definitely, man. And your health tip when it comes to the kitchen, you want to talk about the benefits of pineapple.
Oh yeah, so yesterday I posted me holding a pineapple, and a lot of people were messaging me about pineapples and how they love pineapples. And it has so many healthy benefits to it, and it's so delicious. So number one, the biggest thing is the vitamin C content in the pineapple. It's great for the immune, and it's known to aid with skin health and heart health. There's also an enzyme in it called bromelain. I can't pronounce it, but
yeah.
There's an enzyme that has anti-inflammatory benefits, and it's only found in pineapples.
Oh, wow. Nowhere else.
Yeah. Right. And then also, it's really good for digestion due to the high fiber and water content. And it's just overall healthy, low in fat, low in carbs, good for energy, and delicious, very delicious. Yeah, and there's different ways to prepare. You can, you can just eat it, you know, diced, or you can freeze it, put it in smoothies. But I've been researching, and I've actually had it before. There's a very interesting dish called it's a teriyaki chicken pineapple bowl.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and you basically just like cut up the pineapples inside, scoop out the inside of the pineapple, and then you add teriyaki chicken and rice, and then the diced pineapples. And the combination together is immaculate.
Wow, that sounds really good, man. You always get me hungry, dude, when you close out the segment with your healthy food tip. But I had no... So you're telling me pineapple is the... And I won't even try to pronounce it, but it's the only food item that has that in it? Enzyme. That enzyme in it?
Yes, it's only known to be found in pineapple. I was doing reading, and... I thought it was pretty interesting. So pineapple is a pretty unique fruit. It's unique looking, for sure.
Yeah.
It reminds me of palm trees out here, actually. But
it must be nice. It must be nice, Johnny.
Yes, that's it. Pineapples. Eat more pineapples.
Love it, man. Awesome stuff. Johnny, thank you as always, my man. And enjoy tomorrow night's Michigan State and Minnesota game, all right?
Oh, yeah. You know I'll be watching. Go green.
Go white, baby. All right. Johnny Lewis. Fit Fridays with Johnny Lewis, the founder of, again, Blessed Body Training. All right, as we close out the hour here, any thoughts or predictions, Connor, when it comes to tomorrow's matchup or even, it, I don't know if you want to weigh in on the whole Izzo thing here with a minute left here.
You know, the Izzo thing, a good quote I've heard a lot is I yell because I care. If I stop yelling, then, you know, we're really in trouble. I don't understand it. That's coaching. Every level I've had playing basketball, I've had coaches do that stuff. Honestly, the worst coaches I've had have been the ones that have been like, oh, good job for something where I know I played like crap or I know I did something wrong. So yep. that's my thought on that. Against Minnesota, Minnesota's been a very feast or famine team all year. I think Michigan State should be able to handle business against them. But again, you never know. They shot lights out against Louisville. We'll have to see if they keep it going.
Yeah, and I think this is the for me, I thought this was the better draw for them. I was nervous if they played Louisville, not if they played Minnesota.
Oh, psychologically, yeah, because Louisville beat them this year.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, I'm going to enjoy that game tomorrow night. I hope you do as well. I'm also going to see Jordan Peele's Us. I have heard some crazy things about
it. We need to go see that.
Looking forward to it, man. All right, have a great weekend, and be easy, people.